According to a Pew survey out this year, 71% of Americans think their local news outlets are doing well financially. But nothing could be further from the truth. A report this week from the freedom of speech nonprofit PEN America found that since 2004, nearly 2,000 local outlets have closed, and there are now 200 counties with no local news organization at all. One city council member in Denver says the lack of local coverage makes him feel like he and his colleagues could all be getting away with murder right now. Of course, he meant the metaphorical kind. Robin Farzad is host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Hi, Robin.
How are you?
Well, I'm not feeling good about these stats. And if that's not enough, what we just heard, some are calling this week in particular the week we will look back on when we write the history of the newspaper industry's collapse. Remind us why.
There's so much capitulation-driven deal-making. See if you can keep up with this. You have Gatehouse acquiring USA Today parent Gannett, which not too long ago was thought immune to most of the downturn forces. It chewed away a hedge fund. But in this case, private equity ownership is involved. But that same hedge fund, Alden Global, just acquired a 25% chunk of Tribune Publishing, which itself is rumored to be in talks to partner with fellow struggler McClatchy, which owns the Miami Herald. McClatchy is now a penny stock looking at a potential bankruptcy.
Yeah. So to those who are saying, oh, great, you have people with a lot of money coming in to rescue these newspaper organizations, you say what?
There's just been no evidence that private equity or hedge funds, financial sponsors, could pull it off. The idea, in theory, is to consolidate. While capital is cheap, you can share staff across different mastheads, slash payrolls, and then dress up the results as acquisition bait. And all along, you're extracting dividends. Five chains become three. Then they're going to spin off assets. Financial players, they've always had a hand in declining industries. It's a super open question if you look at the past 10 years of retrenchment that they've been able to turn anything around.
Yeah. So is it safe to say we'll see more newspaper closures?
I mean, the number of newspaper newsroom employees at newspapers got cut in half between 2008 and 2018.
Yeah.
We're talking from 71,000 to 38,000. And this has been happening for the better part of two decades across booms and busts. I think the problem is you have newsrooms that were built for the heyday of the full page department store and car dealership ads. Now those profit centers, they've vanished with the classifieds, and these same newspapers are begging readers to belatedly pay up to subscribe while they keep slashing the newspaper.
Look, I'm one of those. I can't function without reading a couple of real newspapers in the morning. I mean, there are articles that don't make it online. There are editors who position things so you know their importance. But there's coverage. I mean, I just don't think you're as informed if you don't read your a local paper. But to people who can't get one or who feel it's fine to get their news from Facebook, maybe it is for them. What do you think are some of the other dangers?
I mean, the press has always been that informal check and balance on state and local government. Graft, covering city council meetings, you know, Freedom of Information Act requests. If you look at the one reporter at the Miami Herald who resurrected the Jeffrey Epstein imbroglio and held the Justice Department and prosecutors and really personally resurrected this, that wouldn't have happened without, you know, Julie Brown at the Miami Herald. Mm. And that's a struggling paper. We talked about McClatchy earlier.
Yeah. So there you have it. I mean, there just won't be the kind of coverage, no matter where it is, it won't be if it's not driven by reporters and newspapers. Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure, thank you as always.
Thank you, Robin.